Amen. You may be seated as the kids head off to Children's Church. It's good to see everybody. School started. Some of us are excited about that. Others, not so much. I know parents are. I'm like, school, yes. Like, you know, go school, right? A little different perspective, right? I'm glad that we're all here again. My name is Michael. I'm the pastor here. If you're with us online or you're here in person, it's the first time, then welcome. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better, so make sure you leave some information for us. Either way. Well, we've already started the fall semester of school, and all these things are in full swing, but we've delayed the finishing up of the summer series, The L's of the Bible. And so what I wanted to do today is just that, finish it up and talk about leisure. I thought maybe not the best week to talk about leisure as we are all starting things. School has begun. Maybe you've started some new endeavors, and with the fall, maybe there's a study or something else that you're involved in. My guess is that we're all busy, right? We all have things going on, and sometimes we just need to take a step back and say, God, what does it look like for me to rest? Maybe it's not you on the hammock in your backyard. Maybe you don't have one of those. I do. It's not hanging up right now. It sits on my shelf as a reminder of a mission trip where I slept in a hammock for 10 days. but maybe you find yourself being able to get up in the morning early or taking some of the weekend while the kids are sleeping in, spending some time with the Lord and resting in who He is. before we jump into it, I wanted to show a quick video, and then we'll jump right back into the message.
A sense of urgency. We are on a looming deadline. It's going to be a late night.
So maybe we just need to take a breath. By the way, I'm sorry if I stressed you out on Sunday. That was I didn't think about that before. And I watched it a few times, and then this morning, and I was just listening to it, and I was like, I'm stressed out just by hearing those sounds. So I get it. I do. The life is busy, and maybe it's hard for you to to take a moment or to think to yourself, I'm not sure that's really realistic for me to sit in a park somewhere, you know, sipping coffee or whatever and, you know, just being, you know, just taking a breath, right? Life is busy, I get that. But maybe our focus today as we conclude this series and we talk about leisure would just be to ask ourselves the question, what can this look like for us? Or why rest at all? I'll try to approach this aspect of why rest or why sleep or why take a break and why we should do that regularly, and not just from what the Bible says, but also from what the world tells us and what the health organizations and people say. It's a good thing to take a break, to take some leisure. And you may have wondered what the whole RMD thing was, not R&D, so it's not research and development, but RMD. In my studies over the last year and just kind of working on all these things related to psychology and pastoral counseling, I came across a professor that used this apparently in mainstream literature for psychology, and it's called rational meaningful detachment. Rational meaningful detachment. And all that means is just, it's a fancy way to say, take a break or take a breath. And I think we can frame this in a number of different ways, but as we walk through the text today, we need to allow ourselves to be okay with our minds taking a rest, with our hearts taking a rest. And I think a lot of that is tied up with maybe when we would do a quiet time during the day or even just taking a break once a week to spend some time with the Lord and take that deep breath. I also wonder, you know, there's things in our lives that we also solve with allowing them to take a break. My computer, I don't know why, it's like, you know, I'm doing schoolwork, I'm doing work for the church, I'm, you know, I like doing things for the fire department as well, so that's all kind of a part of my life. My computer just got overwhelmed, and it just started doing the thing where your cursor is like, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what to do, you know, this is kind of worrying me, I'm kind of freaking out about this. And you know what you do with your computer? What does everybody tell you whenever it just starts, like, you're like, I shut everything down and it's still not working right? You just reset it, right? You turn it off for a moment, you turn it back on. And isn't it amazing that we, you know, we look at the world around us, we look at technology, and we ask those important questions about what's best for our health. And all across the board, we'll see that taking a break, taking a reset, or just maybe a few moments every single day and or week, we can take a step back and say maybe the best thing is to take a rest, take a break, whatever that might look like for you. And all the rest of the hours during the week, I know they're taken up already, right? But maybe we just get a better picture of that today. And so with that, we'll be in two different texts today. We'll be in Genesis and Ecclesiastes. So you go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles. If you don't have one today, by the way, you can grab one in front of you. Should be one in the chair. And that's our gift to you if you don't have one today. And so the first fill in the blanks, this, resting in the source. Now, we're starting in Genesis, and so from the beginning, I think we see that God takes a rest. If that's new to you, then don't worry, we'll hit that, and then we'll move on into the book of Ecclesiastes. And these two books, they're written by guys who I think are very influential characters in our faith. And so one is Moses, who wrote the Torah, he wrote the law, and so that was given to him by God in history, and it was passed down. So this is really important. When we read the creation narrative, sometimes we go like, yeah, God created everything, great. But then we miss that seventh day where he rested. And then I kept getting this thought. I was like, if God rested and things will go really, really badly for us if we don't, like, why wouldn't we just assume that should be a part of what we do, right? It should be. So we'll go through this and understand why resting in the source is important for us. So if God rested, then so should we. And so starting in verse 31, it's kind of an odd place to start for us, but I want to just preface this. So while Moses writes this and he gives this to God's people, the Torah, we're going to see how this goes from this spot to where Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, the things that he did about how we view everything else, work, right? What we do on a regular basis, how we can take joy in that, and then look back towards what God did as he rested, even though he was still working, right? He was active, and he has been ever since. And so starting in verse 31 in the book of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all and all the host of them." So I'm sure you've had the experience before where maybe you finished a task. Maybe you got to the end of this week. We didn't even have a full, you know, school week. Maybe you're a teacher and you're like Wednesday through Friday, or maybe you were there Tuesday already and you're like, Friday, yes, you know, you're already happy that Friday was here. We get to take a break from that and then start all over again. And so in a similar way, I believe that these good feelings or these characteristic traits or the way that we understand life and the good things come from God. So he originally experienced these, he felt these, and then I believe he gives these good gifts of how we feel or how we view what we've done before. So it says here that God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Maybe you mowed the lawn recently, and you're like, you know, guys like to do that. They mow it, and then they just look at it. You know, wives are like, what are you doing? You just mowed the lawn. I'm like, I know, but look at it. Looks good, right? Yeah, and then they're like waiting for their wives to be like, yeah, you're, you know, good job, honey. That was really good. You mowed the lawn, right? But, you know, as guys, like, we operate off of that too, praise, and we need to feel good about the things that we accomplish. And, you know, truthfully, we all do. And even God, he said this to himself, or he felt this, it was very good. And there was evening and morning, and the sixth day, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, right? With good reason. So then in verse 2, we see here that the first rest took place with God. And then the question is, how do we respond to this? Do we go, well, yeah, God didn't have to rest, but I guess that he did. You know, he chose to. So what should we do? Well, it says here in verse 2, and on the seventh day, God finished this work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had finished. So God rested when he was done with creation. So the question is, do we need to rest? Like, does everybody sleep? Everybody do that? There's been some people over, you know, history who have said like, oh, we don't need to do that, or, you know, we're gonna test a theory, or we're gonna try to do something, you know, in opposition to that. I wonder how long you can go without sleep. So I started looking that up. These kind of things always interest me. I love, you know, efficiency, and, you know, I don't like the lack thereof. So I'm like, get as much done as I possibly can. And sometimes too, like in life, I go like, if I just didn't sleep, like, would I be able to accomplish more? Well, it would hurt you more in the long run. But there was a young man by the name of Randy Gardner in 1965, who set the world record for going without sleep. And you might have wondered, Randy, why did you do that, right? Why would you do that? And so I thought same thing to myself, although I thought, this is very interesting. Where does it end? Well, he figured out that he could go 264 hours without sleep, which is roughly 11 days. Now, most people can't do that and not die, by the way, so please don't, like, Pastor said we could do this. Look at all the things we're going to get done. You're not. It will go really badly. So he went 11 days, and this was all for a school science project, like science fair project. This wasn't like some guy was like, I got some free time. No, this high school kid was like, how long can I go without sleeping? Just science project, you know, be easy. I'll just write down what I, you know, experience. And in 2017, they did a study related to this, and, you know, they asked him some questions after the fact. So all these years later, what happened to you? You know, what was the outcome of this? And he said, well, by the third morning, he was experiencing nausea, okay? Most worryingly, he complained about memory loss. It took place a few days later, which was symptomatic of early Alzheimer's. This is like 5 days in. I don't know how he got to day 11, by the way. But so this was the conclusion of the article. In other words, the human body isn't made to withstand sleep deprivation to any degree, right? You know that, like you stay up too late with the kids or maybe one of the younger kids. Teeth are coming in. It's happening for us right now. And they like to keep reminding you, hey, I'm in pain. Hey, there's nothing we can do about it. Stop screaming. And then you don't get as much sleep and you're reminded that, oh, I need that, right? Well, we do need rest. And so we go from that verse 2 into verse 3. Seventh day, when do we rest? Well, it says here in verse 3, so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work he had done in creation. So maybe after you finish the lawn or maybe after a long, you know, work week, right? You take your spouse out on a date night. We got to do that this week too, and I was very thankful for that. Because sometimes you're just like, I need a break, right? I need to take a breath. I need to have a conversation, an adult one, possibly, right? When you have small children. And so this is good, right? So God models this for us, and this will propel us into Ecclesiastes. And before we go into that, I also just want to touch on like how we view work, and because I think a lot of things have gotten skewed as well since COVID, right? That's pretty much everything. And so I was looking at this study related to like work, like how much we work, and I kind of thought, well, maybe people like realized after that, like it's not good to work, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, right? Or maybe you need to take a break every once in a while, right? Well, in a recent Forbes article, I read this. It said American workers are notorious for being workaholics. Since March of 2020, an overwhelming majority of U.S. employees have shortened and postponed and or canceled their vacation time altogether. Another recent study found that 26% of respondents had never taken 2 weeks of vacation at one time. Center for Economic and Policy Research has gone as far to say that the U.S. is known as the no-vacation nation. Wonder. Well, what does that all lead to? Well, it says, but leaving vacation time on the table is taking its toll on employees. Recent study by the World Health Organization found that 745,000 people died in 2016 from heart disease and stroke due to long hours, and said this trend might worsen. They compared the person that works maybe, 55 hours plus in a work week to the person who works 35 or 40, and they said that the person who works 45 plus has a 35% higher risk of stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease than the person who works 35 to 40. So, that's interesting, right? And the Bible's not just telling us to take a rest. No, the culture and the world around us goes like, you should take a break. Like, maybe the 20-hour day is not the best one. And I'm not going to lie to you and say I haven't done this before, right? And on a Sunday, too, people are like, when do you take a break? Not Sunday, right? So that's not necessarily a day of rest for me. But I have to ask that question, like, when is it for you? Or when do you take a chunk of time, whenever that might be, to take a rest? The Bible certainly challenges us on this, and Genesis sets the stage for us. Now, let's go to Ecclesiastes, right? So we've got, what do we rest in? What's the source of that rest? Ultimately, we know it's God, and we go to him for that. We go to him for our direction, right, on when that rest should actually take place, and we understand that better. And you can flip over into Ecclesiastes, wherever it is in your Bible. You're going to probably turn 450 to 475 pages. So keep going. You'll get there eventually, still in the Old Testament. It will be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. Now, this is this resting in the present. So we've got resting in the source, being God, and then resting in the present. Now, sometimes that's hard for us, right? We just think, well, if I just did one more thing, or if I just took care of this, or if I just did this thing, I've heard this before too, you don't know our situation, right? Everybody does different things for work, everybody does different things for hobbies, but the truth is that no matter what we do, it's good to take a breather, right? It's good to take a break. And Solomon, what we know about him who wrote this book, was the wisest man to have ever lived. He was a guy who, when God asked, what do you want? He said, wisdom, right? And he could have asked for anything else, but he said, wisdom so that I might lead your people. And then God responds by saying, well, because you've asked for that, I'm not going to only give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all these other things, because he had a right desire for this. So if we want to be wise, book of Ecclesiastes is a good place to go to. Many people don't read it because, like, it's kind of depressing. If everything's vanity, then, like, why would we do anything? Or why would we, put any effort into anything? Well, this spot here in Ecclesiastes tells us how we can enjoy the present, take joy in what we do for a living, for work. But if we understand it in the right way, we can step away from it, right? We don't have to go like, this is my everything, or this makes me who I am, or this makes me valuable. We don't have to do that and more of it in order to feel valuable, right? That's there for a reason. I think Solomon will help us understand it here. Starting in verse 9, chapter 3, it says, what gain has the worker from his toil? Now again, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to see like everything. You're like, I don't think there's a topic that he missed. In the very beginning of Ecclesiastes, he says, all is vanity. Now, we have to understand what the context of this is. Now, Solomon, this is probably something he's written towards the end of his life, and so he's experienced pretty much anything you could possibly experience that would bring joy and life and fulfillment, and he's not taking away like that significance from that. He's not saying you can't experience good and enjoyable and right things that even God gives to us, right? But what he is saying is that if we experience these things and if we do these things outside of knowing God and ultimately glorifying him, then everything that you do is not going to matter in the long run. So he's saying everything is vanity. When you get to the end of the book, you'll see that he says that about everything is vanity unless we're working towards this purpose of knowing, understanding God, growing closer to him, and bringing glory to him. So he says, what gain has the worker from his toil? Well, we need to consider the rest that we can take presently. My wife reminds me all the time because I think if I didn't have her in my life, I have this tendency towards workaholism, right? So I'd be right there with the rest of the U.S. and be like, yeah, 55 hours, you know, plus a week or whatever you do. And sometimes it does look like that. I know that. But sometimes we also need this reminder that it's okay to stop, right? Or it's okay to take a break, to take a breather and say, you know what, maybe we just need to sit for a moment. Maybe we need to, you know, talk about what's going on instead of continuing. But if I just get this one more thing done, all right, and I'm right there with you. I'm like, type A, I've got my lists, right, and I got to get those things done in order for everything to go, you know, at the end of the day, if I don't get that done, I'm like, it's not a good day, right? Chris will just remind me, well, you know, you got done what God wanted you to get done today. So I'm like, okay, fine, right? I can lay my head down on my pillow. Does it bother me still? A little bit, if I'm being honest, yeah? But when we read this, Solomon asks the question, what gain has the worker from his toil, right? And in verse 10, it says, I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Now, we have to understand, Solomon's got this perspective. He's the CEO, the administrator. He's seen the most prosperous time in God's people's history that will ever be. He built the temple, built everything else up. They were the richest they would ever be during that time. All the other nations were like, you know, wow, God's people, amazing, you know. Everything is going well. It's prospering. And Solomon, he'll say this, he'll make some of these phrases throughout the book of Ecclesiastes as well. He's like, I've seen it. I've done it. If you've tried it, I've experienced it. And here he's looking at this perspective of work, like what we do, what's the purpose of it, why does it matter? This is why he asked the question at the beginning. And then in verse 10, he says, I've seen the business that God has given the children of man to be busy with. Is anybody busy in here? You busy, right? No, you, no, yeah. I mean, I am, right? And all of us are probably, yeah, I am. I'm busy, right? And so Solomon, throughout his life, he's like, I've seen it all. You couldn't do something and then say, yeah, but I'm the exception. Solomon says, I've seen it all, everything that God has given the children of man to be busy with. And so then he turns the corner. In verse 11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So this is an interesting verse. There's a variety of things going on here, but it alludes to a lot of things. I think the seasons, for one thing, right? The seasons are changing. The leaves are falling off the tree. It's like if we could just like alternate those where the grass would stop growing, when the leaves started growing, and then when the snow comes, like we're not still dealing, like there's still leaves on the ground, you know? So, you know, the seasons will change and we will experience those things. But he says, after seeing all this, he's like, I've seen everything that people could do, that they could spend their time doing, on working on. He says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. So even in this statement, Solomon's not saying this is worthless, that there isn't any pursuit here. In fact, we're going to see that God's given this to us for a reason. So whether you're a school teacher or physical therapist or a nurse, or whatever it might be, God's given us this business not to be like, man, I mean, I'm going to do this, and then when is it going to be over? That's not Solomon's perspective. He's going, I've seen all these things, and then let me give you a little bit of perspective. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And for wherever you're at right now, I know some of us are going, well, I'm retired, and that's beautiful. And it's time, right? Well, I'm currently in the middle of that season. I'm like, just 5 or 10 more years. We're like, but you know what? I really enjoy what I do, and I love that about our church, because as I talk with you, I don't really hear of any people going like, yeah, I have to do this. You know, it's a job, right? But God's given us those seasons. Maybe you're just like right at the end, you're like, I'm ready, right? I know I've had those conversations with Bruce, and he's like, just a few more days, right? A few more days, and then I get to move into a different season of life. But you know what Solomon says? He's like, this shouldn't be drudgery for us. This shouldn't be like, man, I hate this season that I'm in. Because the church and as God's people, and Solomon knew this as well, he's like, God gave me really important things to do throughout my life. And he's not just saying that because, like, I was a king, so of course what I'm doing, it was important. He saw what everybody did as valuable, as God-given, and a piece of what God has set aside for us to do. So he says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So this is interesting. You know, we talked this morning about God's sufficiency and like how he just gives us what we need, right, for the day or for the season or for the time. But yet we have this intimate knowledge that we're going to be with him forever in heaven. So we know there's more things coming. There are these great things. And sometimes we just lose that perspective, like, I know God is allowing me to work. I know he's allowing me to be here to do what I have to do for this season. Again, everything beautiful in its time. But yet we have this constant reminder. It's like this longing, like, God, I'm doing what you have for me to do right now, and I want to be content in that, whatever the season is, whatever the time is, and then I can look forward towards that. And then this reminder, Solomon's like, and you're not going to know exactly what's going to happen later down the road, right? We have this intimate knowledge of eternity, right? Even poets have talked about that, like our hearts, our souls have this intimate knowledge, no matter who you are, whether or not you believe in God. When asked the question, is there a God? Is there an afterlife? Most people will say, yeah, I think there probably is. There's something more to this. And Solomon says, well, what are we doing? Well, taking joy in the moment and what God has given us, and then being able to, in that moment, because this is all tied together, right? If we read the entirety of Scripture, we'll see that, like, God's given us a season of life, a time, a ministry, whatever it is, to live in and operate in, and then take joy in that so that we can also rest, right? You wonder why it's interesting, and some people just are never satisfied. Like, I just got to get, you know, more done. I got to get this thing taken care of. I got to, you know, just one more thing, right? Or like, and just, there's not enough time in the day. But, and I'm talking to myself here too, right? Because if I'm being honest, I get to that point in the day, I'm just like, not enough, not enough, not enough, right? But yet God, in what he's given, he's looking at us and he's going like, enough, right? You can rest. You can take a break. You can take a breather. But I know sometimes at the end of the day, it just doesn't seem like that, right? But Solomon gives us perspective. So everything beautiful in its time, right? Even though he says everything is vanity unless it's established in knowing and walking with God. And then it has purpose, and then it has meaning, and then we can experience joy in it so that we can find true rest, true peace. And so that person who's sitting there on the park bench and you're like, that will never happen. Do you not know us? We have teenagers, or like we have little kids, or like, and we're both going different directions. We're like, we barely say anything to them when we're leaving. And then I get it, right? I get it. That causes stress. That causes anxiety. That causes separation. But when we read this, we can go, okay, wait a second. I know there's a plan. There's a purpose for it. And I've got to intentionally go, like, what is my RMD? Like, am I asking that question? What is my rational, I can't even say it, rational, meaningful detachment, right? When is that time? And maybe it's just a few minutes a day, right? I'm not saying, but some of us just get worn out and exhausted spiritually, mentally, physically, everything. And then we're just like, why am I doing this? And we misinterpret when we read Ecclesiastes and we're like, yeah, everything is vanity. Everything's meaningless. Everything's purposeless. But yet, even Solomon, in the context of what he said, he pointed us towards being able to take joy in that. You don't believe me? Let's keep reading. Verse 12, it says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them to do than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. So many times when we read this, you read the book and you're going like, everything's vanity. Solomon, not super great perspective, but when you read this part in chapter 3, we have to go, okay, if everything's beautiful in its time and I'm meant for something, I'm meant to do something good, and what else can I do? He says, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful. He's not going, everything's vanity. That's the end, right? But I've perceived, and you got to understand Solomon's perspective, right? When he asked for wisdom, this is at the end of his life, right? So he's collected everything that God has given him to naturally be wise, so no matter what anybody has ever said to him. I love that story where, you know, the two ladies come to him, and it's not exactly a children's story, but, you know, they come to him, and one of them's like, that's my baby, and they're like, no, that's my baby, and he's like, oh, okay, well, let's divide him, and then, you know, you guys can each have one, right? Not a nice story, but God gave Solomon this wisdom to go, what would happen if you were actually wise? And you know what happened in that story? The lady who it was her kid, she was like, you can have the baby, please don't, let's not do that. That's not, you know, I don't want to do that. And Solomon's like, that's the real mom, right? So if a guy in those, it's like kind of, you think about like the craziest scenarios, you know, I love that Christy and I did youth ministry for 10 years because they just come up with like amazing questions. You're like, I don't know the answer to that, but I will find it, right? And so in the same way, Solomon addressed many, many different questions of wisdom, of how to operate, how to do life. And here in chapter 3, I think he kind of really brings the book to not a summary, but at least a focal point where we can understand what is the actual purpose, like what is our pursuit. He says, I perceive. So he understood, right? Sometimes we're wondering, like, why am I going? It's Monday. Why am I going to work, right? Well, if we take joy in what we do, if it's maybe more than just a paycheck, maybe about honoring the Lord in our abilities, in our education, our giftings. You know, a lot of times it's like when school starts, you know, Andy asked it and the kids were like, not good, right? How's it going? I think somebody said not good. I'm not sure who that was. Maybe it was all right. Yeah, he's being honest. I'm like, I wasn't looking, but somebody said not good, right? We had to go back to school. But if our perspective is like, man, God has given me this opportunity to grow in wisdom and knowledge, to figure out what he's going to do with my life. I mean, like, there's endless possibilities in joy in that, isn't there, right? I'll ask Oliver in a few years, right? Maybe it'll change a little bit. But my hope and my prayer for you, especially in this as we read it, is that we understand that God has given us meaning and purpose, right? It's not about everything being meaningless. It's about outside of God and taking joy in what he's given to us. Then we find that it might be meaningless for that person, but not for us. So what do? Enjoy life, be joyful, and do good while we have life, right? We're not just sitting on our hands, just waiting, like, you know, just, yeah, God, whenever you're ready to come back, I'm just going to be here. You know, I've known people like that as well that have just said, you know, I'm done. Like, I don't need to do anything. Like, God's going to work it all out. And I'm like, but he gave you, like, a life, like, to live, like, right now. So what are you going to do with that? There's a lot of questions about that. But what will you do? Well, here's our perspective, and this is what Solomon says it is, that we would be joyful. Samach in the Hebrew, to rejoice or be glad. It's used 158 times in the text. And then you find it in Psalm 33 as well, in Psalm 33, 21. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. So what do we find joy in? Well, that starts with God. But then we find that it should bleed into every other area of life, right? So when you're going, and I know one of the things Matt does, one of our deacons, goes around and does the traveling physical therapy stuff. Like, I talk to him on the phone in between visits sometimes, and I'm like, that's cool. Like, he goes places to help people where they're at, right? Maybe other of you, you're in the medical field, and you go to your spot, and you're getting set up. I think about Deb a lot. This is one of the areas that she serves, helping in medical procedures, right? I could never do that aspect of it, right? But I'm glad there are people that are, right? So when we need help, and we can take joy in those things, right? It doesn't really matter what we're doing, but God's certainly given us a lot in life, and he's told us that we're supposed to be taking joy in this, right? So if we enjoy it, that means we'll take joy in it and we'll do the work. And then when we're presented with this question, like, how will I find my RMD? How will I find rest? Will I be content to rest? And I found some of the seasons in my life where I'm just like, I don't know that I am. I have to go and look at my heart. I have to go, is something not right here? Because if I can't rest, if I have to go, like, unless I do it, unless I accomplish it, then God's not going to be happy, or he's going to be like, you know, you're kind of letting the team down, right? There are days that we don't get it all done, right? There are times when we struggle, and we're like, I feel like God's not happy with me because I didn't do what I wanted to accomplish. But yet, we still did whatever God had for us, right? Now, it's easy for us to go, yeah, God's prepared the times and the seasons, the places that we're going to go and do stuff, but then actually, you know, living that out, actually believing it is another story. So we take joy, and we're able to do good as long as we live. And so that's the practice here. So what do we practice to do good? Tob in the Hebrew is the word, be kind, right, and or pleasant. So we're practicing this. We're not going about life just being like the down, like every time we walk into a room, you know, we like make people feel worse. Like, that's not who we're supposed to be. We walk into a place and we have bad days, right? Everybody's got bad days. But we should be people who are like lifting other people up, right? And especially those who don't know God. Like, there's always those believers who are struggling, but when we go somewhere, people be like, man, like that, I just feel better, you know? Walked into this place because we walk with purpose, right? We have purpose. We can take joy in whatever we're doing right now. And Solomon's like, you could do so many different things. I've seen it all, he says. But where do we rest? Well, it starts with being able to be content with what we're doing now, finding joy in that, and eventually that should end in this place where, like, oh, it's Friday, or oh, it's the day that I can take off, or oh, it's this time or the season that I can, and that's where I find I are empty. So I perceive there's nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Verse 13, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure or good in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So, you know, guys, while you mow the lawn, you're like, it was good, right? It looks good. The ladies can give the pat on the back. It was great. Whatever we do, right? Whatever we accomplish, Solomon, wisest man to have ever lived, who's seen it all, did it all, managed everything that you could possibly manage and saw every little aspect of it, says also, so not only that we can take joy and be doing good, but also that everyone should eat, drink, and take, right? We're Baptists, right? We do the whole, like, you know, I was talking to John about that. I'm like, you don't know until you've been to like one of our potlucks, the desserts, the stuff. You don't know, right? And Solomon knew it too. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure or good in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So this word here for to take pleasure in, right? It's another word for good. And we've seen that before. Kind, right, good, or pleasant in all our toil or labor. And he says this is what? It's a good gift. It's the word matah in the Hebrew, and it means a reward. So wait a second. Everything that we do in life matters. For the student who is, if I see one of them back there who's just gone off to college, Aiden, he went to college and he came back for service. That's great, man. So he's there, he's watching, he's listening. So for the one who's just gone off to college, right, who's going like, I'm just at the beginning, like I think I know what I'm supposed to do with my life, like I think God's given me purpose in that, that's good, right? You can take pleasure in that, even if you're like, I'm so overwhelmed, like I don't know, like what's going to happen. Whatever season we're in, Solomon says, I've seen it all. And God gave him those words. I've seen it all. What are we going to take joy in? Are we going to do good with like the time that God's given us? And then as a result of that, be able to go, okay, I can rationally, meaningfully detach for a moment. And maybe it's not all day, right? Maybe it's not, just take my Saturday and I'm just going to sit at the park all day, right? I'm going to read a book. And right? Maybe that's not realistic, but maybe we can take a few moments, right? You can take a breath. I hope that you can. Solomon says that we can here, right? God's given him these words. So maybe we just need to take a step back. This is good to be able to thank God for it. I was thinking this week, too. I operate in so many different like avenues, and God's really been good to us the last 4 years that we've been here. I get to serve in the community, in the fire department. We help in the school as well. And so there's just different places that we're in. And all those different places that I go, I see a lot of like hopelessness. I see a lot of people that are unhappy. I ask questions like, you know, what do you do? Like, you know, do you enjoy that? No. Like, it's 9 to 5, man, you know. There's no joy or in the relationships that people find. I'm just like, I'm constantly going like if God's the source of our joy, if he's our main purpose, then everything else in our lives has meaning, has value, and even work. And then where does that lead us? It gives us this ability to go, it's good, it's right, I'm given a purpose. And because of that, and because I don't hold all this together too, right? I think sometimes we do. We think that. We're like, we're the end-all be-all. If we don't do it, if we don't accomplish it, then it won't get done. And I've had to take so many of those steps back. God has done that for me. I'm just going to take that away from you. So that at the end of the day, I can go, okay, it's all right. Whatever season of life I am, whatever I'm doing right now, he's given me that. And it's beautiful and it's time, right? Whatever season that is. And then he's reminded me over and over again. And as I read this, what Solomon says here as we close, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. So he reminds us this great gift that he's given us, not just that we should view rest in the right way, so we're resting in the source God who did himself. And then we walk to the book of Ecclesiastes and we're like, yeah, Solomon got it. So why can't we? We have purpose. We have joy. I've talked with so many as you walked in this morning, like, how's the first week going to school, all this? A lot of good reports, right? There'll always be the difficult things. But how do we do that? I find that when we can't take joy, when we can't be like, yeah, God's been so good, like, look at what he's done. I can be so thankful for how he's provided for me. He's given me this different perspective that my marriage matters more because I belong to God. My job matters more because I belong to God, right? And that's easy for me to say. Two people will be like, well, you're pastor, so, you know, so of course, right? But everything we do matters, right? God ultimately gives us a greater purpose, a greater joy. We can experience that. And then when we're done, right? Whether it's the end of the week whether it's retirement or whether we're at the beginning of this trying to figure out what we want to do with our lives, he's like, it's good, you can take joy in it, and I'll be there every step of the way to remind you that it's beautiful, right? And then we can take a step away, and I know you're not going to remember this phrase unless you wrote it down. I'm probably not going to no matter what, but where is that rational, meaningful detachment that you can take from life, and you can step away for a moment, and you can look back and have Solomon's perspective no matter where you're at. Life is good, beautiful. The work that he gives me to do, I can take joy in that. And I can look back wherever it is, or I can look ahead and go, I know there's purpose in all this, right? It's a greater purpose than the rest of the world has. We don't have to be in that setting, be in the corporate world and be like, it just one more hour, one more day, and then sacrifice a lot of other things. God gives us that. We can step away. We can take a rest like he did. And I'm thankful for that. So maybe the challenge for this week, the chaos of everything that's going on, is just ask this question, where's your RMD this week? You don't have to tell me that. You don't have to answer that question to me. But maybe we just have that conversation with God. Like, where is that this week? Where can I take it? From the young people to the older people, where is that? What does it look like? And maybe we just need to ask God, like, would you help me have the right perspective so that I can take joy, see it as beautiful, and then step away for a moment, take a breath, and be like, it's good. It's right. Thank you for the season that you've given to me. So I'll close with this. Maybe if you're here today and you're just like, I've had a hard time finding joy in anything. Maybe you're struggling. Here, I'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you're just like, I'm completely detached from God. I don't even know what RMD would look like in my life because I'm always unhappy. I don't know God. We really believe that the first step of this is knowing God personally. And that starts with a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, that he came, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross, he was raised on the third day so that we might have eternal life. And the scripture tells us we believe that, we can have that, and everything else looks so more vivid, doesn't it? The colors that we get to experience, the life, the joy that we get to take because we know him. Everything else is actually meaningful, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you'd help us as we think about this leisure. What does it look like? God, is it weird to talk about leisure as we're going out of summer, maybe? But maybe it's exactly the right time. God, I don't know, as we were working on putting these things together, I thought about that this week, and God, I know that you've already planned those things in advance, and you know the perfect timing for this. And so as we enter into another busy season, I pray that we wouldn't just be like the rest of the statistics, those that can't walk away, those that don't feel fulfilled, those that don't take joy in what they do, God, which we know ultimately will keep us from actually resting well. I pray that when we understand what you did in the beginning, that you worked well and you worked hard and you took joy in what you did, I pray that we could have that perspective, knowing that every season of life you've given to us, whether we're in grade school and we're not always taking enjoyment in that, or whether we're off to figure out what our profession in life is, whether we're in the middle of it and we're just looking forward to things in the future, God, I pray that in this present situation that maybe we would find rest right here. Maybe we would find joy right here. Maybe we would see the beauty in what you've given us to do right now, wherever we're at in life. So God, we hope that that would be the case so that maybe we could turn, we could open that door of rest and be able to do that. Whatever that looks like in each of our lives this week, this month, this year, I pray that we can take a step back, see what you've done, be able to rest in who you are and understand what that leisure actually looks like when we know you. And it's your name we pray. Amen.